Welcome to Composer's Favorites, a podcast by Film Scoring Tips. I am Giovanni Rotondo, and today we're gonna learn more about composer
Sanna Salmencaglio's
favorite things. Enjoy the show! My guest today is the composer of Three Rooms of Melancholia and Alto, which won her the Harpa Award in Berlin. She has composed 35 films, mostly in Finland, and won 4 UC Awards, Finland's Oscars. Welcome to the show, Sanna Salmencaglio.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
It's such a pleasure to have you. And I'm usually start with the guest's favorite book. And I usually read the title and the author myself, but in this case, in the interest of not destroying the names, I'm going to ask you to read both the author's name and the title and tell me a little bit about the book.
Yes. The author is Jukka Viikilä, and the name of the book is Taivaallinen vastaanotto. So I was thinking that maybe I should choose something what is like world literature, but no, I chose a Finnish book. Because I think that I'm proud of my language, what is a very, very small amount of people who are speaking Finnish language. So
Yeah, I resonate with that very much. I'm so proud of my origins as well, and I think we should bring that to the table.
Yes, I think so too. And yeah. It is very important. I think that we should respect and all the minority kind of smaller languages, yeah.
Absolutely. And what's the book about?
Well, it has very, very inspiring dramaturgy because it is a guy who is going, and it really happened, that he had to go to kind of a huge heart operation. So in the center of this book is a heart operation, but this guy is calling it like a corridor dramaturgy, which means that you are in a heart operation, what brings, of course, life and death and all important things of life. And then he's kind of going to different memories and going to different places. But the way it's written, and it always comes back to this heart operation, this dramaturgy, I have never read anything like this. Because normally we have narration. Mm-hmm. But it's also interesting to read that kind of books because we have more and more films which doesn't have that kind of narrative, classical narration.
Right.
So I think it's important to read that kind of books.
That sounds amazing. I wonder if, I hope it a translation exists.
I really think that this book should be translated because I think it's world literature. It's not only for Finns. It's indeed very little Finnish.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. I really like, you know, stories told in different unnavigated ways. So yeah, that sounds
right. Yes, because it starts to resonate in you different way, because mm-hmm. it's surprising you. It comes, you know, behind your back comes something what you didn't accept.
And I can only imagine such a book must create musical inspiration in the reader.
And the thing is also that this guy is not only a great author, but he's also a jazz drummer.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think that there is also in the language there's something very jazzy.
Nice. The next item in your favorites is your favorite film. And the film is Les Demoiselles de Rochefort, in English, The Young Girls of Rochefort, by Jacques Demy, which I confess my ignorance and I haven't seen yet. Please tell me more about the film.
Yeah, it is from 1967. Mm-hmm. Kind of, there is Catherine Deneuve and Catherine's sister, who just died after this film, by the way, in private life. But they are there, and it is kind of, it's beautiful French summer countryside. Because there's two films by Demy. There is this, The Parapluie du Cherbourg. Do you know this? It's also a musical composed by Michel Legrand. And then there is this, and this is kind of it. Those girls, they have all the time pink clothes, and they are talking about subject. Are you in love? Yes, me too. Ba-da-da-ba-da-da. It is that kind of 60s, very Frenchy musical film. But the way there is something in the way in this sunshine and this pinkiness, and same time it's very clumsy. The playback, the way they are doing, they are very clumsy. So it's kind of combine. There is something in this combination that I'm just crying when I'm watching it.
Oh, I will put it in my watch list right away. That sounds lovely. And
And it is total kind of melodramatic. The music is total kind of Michel Legrand, very romantic. But there's something really what makes me very emotional. It's very strange. It is something in this. It's innocent. It's the innocence. The innocence. Now I know.
okay, that and also I think when art gives you unexpected feelings or strange feelings, that's when it really hits the mark in a way, because it makes you think, it makes you react in a way that is not commanded by the brain, right?
And it is because now we are seeing so much films which are in a way perfect. If you are making some kind of so everything is perfect, but the clumsiness they had in 60s,
Yeah, makes
the
sense.
way, you know, that they are playbacking, you know, that those girls, for example, they are playing different instruments and they can't play. It looks really horrible. It looks worse than in any but it's touching me. It's the combination that it's not perfect.
Amazing. That sounds great. So I try to create segues from one to out to the other, so from one item to the other. And we did talk about art. Now, your favorite statue at home is Middle Finger by Chinese political artist Ai Weiwei. Now, the name of the statue might not be Middle Finger, but people will have to look it up online to
Okay.
learn. So tell me more. So you have this statue at
I
home?
have it here.
That's wonderful. I might have to. You know what? I'll make this episode not safe for work. Who cares? And tell me more. It's a statement right there.
It's a statement. You know this Chinese artist, Ai Weiwei, he's one of the biggest artists of our time. And I happened to meet him in Berlin a couple of
Wow,
years
really?
ago. So I know him personally. And we happened to have same birthday. And he
Oh, wow.
gave this to me as a birthday present. But he became very famous because he was arrested in China. He's a po very political artist. And he became also famous that when he came to Europe and was able to travel, he started to put his middle finger next to different buildings, and he was taking photos of these political
Yes.
people. You know, he went to White House, he went to Tour Eiffel, he went to the different churches, he went everywhere because he want to. He's very critical
Of
guy and very political.
right.
So that this one, I see that kind of energy also very positive.
Absolutely. And also,
Because I
yeah.
think that you have to sometimes also fight for right things.
The thing that I did some research. I did know Ai Weiwei before. It was there was an exhibition in London sometime a few years ago now, but it was big. It was pretty big. And the thing, but I had to, you know, to brush it up a little bit. And I looked it up on Google. But yeah, I love how he's brave. And
Very brave.
that's something, yeah, because he has really lots, he puts lots at stakes. Not like if I did the same here, I wouldn't have the same risks that he has by doing what he does in China. And that's incredibly brave, and that's what real artists should probably display a little bit more.
The time I met Ai Weiwei, he was living in Berlin, and I was living in Berlin as well. Then he was collecting, it was 2016, and he was collecting from Greek islands those safety vests. And then he was taking thousands and thousands of them, and then he was putting them with this kind of super bright orange color. He was putting to different buildings of Berlin to get attention.
On the walls.
Yes, and he took the concert halls and what put is, you know, 30,000 of those life vests to the pillars of this.
Yeah, it shows. It's pretty visible.
It took lots of attention to
right.
the things he wanted, and in this case, it was refugees.
Amazing. It's amazing. Now, your favorite, keeping the art, discourse going on, your favorite painting at home is a religious small icon, painted specifically for you, and that's something I'm really curious about. My father loved religious icons. He used to collect some of them. Some of them were, reproductions, most of them, actually. But tell me more. I'm really curious to know about it. And if you have it, show it. Oh, amazing. Oh, my God, it's beautiful.
It's very beautiful. This is Holy Katarina. And Katarina, there's two different Holy Katarinas, but this Katarina is from Alexandria, what is now Egypt. And yes, my second name is Katarina. And in this Greek Catholic tradition, there is my friend, she's a painter, but she has she's a very good friend of mine. She has cancer. And she wanted to make this icon is protecting me, and then and it is Katarina because of my name, and we went to a beautiful cathedral, so this was blessed in this cathedral, and this is specially for me. But this Katarina is very important person, or she has a monastery in Sinai, what is now in between. Egypt and Syria, those mountains, and it has been there maybe 1,500 years.
Wow.
And it is one of the oldest monasteries still existing. But the interesting thing what happened there was that Muhammad was in troubles, and he went to this monastery. And then he said that, hey, to other Muslims, that, hey, these are good people, don't harm them. Mm-hmm. And they became so, there was so big respect between those Christians and those Muslims that they built mosque inside Christian monastery.
So that's what stands
it
there
exists,
now.
It still exists. I tried to go there, but it was too dangerous. I was in Egypt. I was indeed studying in Cairo, but I was there. But it was too dangerous because of political situation.
Right.
But I think that we all should, in these times, we should kind of respect each other's religions and political and everything.
Such a beautiful piece of art, such a beautiful story behind, and I can only imagine how much it's worth for you. It is,
and if I'm a little bit telling about my private activism, it is that I have taken two Iraqi refugees to live at my home.
Oh, wow.
As family members. So that's why my friend was making it to me, because I am also this Katarina, that I have taken Muslims to live in my Christian home.
That's amazing. I applaud to you. And thank you for sharing this with me. Mm-hmm. Everything coming next, you know, might not sound as important, but I like very much your favorite instrument, and I'm curious about it. It's your acoustic violin from 1789.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm playing many, many kind of music, you know. I'm also into electronic stuff, and because I'm a composer, but it's so good to come always back to this acoustic, you know, especially when I'm composing films.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many technical things we have between something what is in your head and what the audience will hear in cinema.
So many steps, yes.
The steps, there's so many steps. So always after that, I take this acoustic violin. I'm like, oh my God, it's just between us. It's on me what kind of sound I get out of this acoustic violin. And of course, when the violin is so old, so we don't know exactly if it's true what they say inside. There's certain kind of certificate, but it's, we don't know exactly is it the one. But that's what the specialists, what they can say it is, that this is from the very end
that
of
era.
That era, yeah.
It's incredible. And is violin your first instrument?
It is my first instrument. Yeah, so it's been also really good for me because I'm also playing in other people's recordings. So
oh,
it has
really?
Been, it's really good for me. So I know also as a composer, when I'm going to studio, I'm very realistic with the time and my, the way I'm working. It is part of, I think that it is part of, very important part of my composing to perform also as a musician. It keeps
yeah,
me
I guess.
Realistic.
And also I think the two things can feed into each other and make you grow in
yeah.
both areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. On your background, I can see snow going on here and there. Like sometimes, is there a blizzard right now?
We have had such a crazy snowstorm. It has been
okay.
snowing now like 24 hours, and I have been all this morning. I have been shuffling snow. So
and you know why you know why I'm mentioning, because I want to mention your favorite household item.
Absolutely. Just wait.
Oh wow. I didn't expect it to be so big, honestly.
It's not so big. It looks a little bit bigger on the edge.
Okay.
But this is
the laptop coming.
I'm shuffling snow with this one. It's perfect. It's so good. I wouldn't be able today come out of my home if I wouldn't have this one.
Yeah, I can
and
imagine.
Then
this
has,
is...
It has wooden how you say?
Handle.
Handle, so that it feels nicer in your hands. It's our. I don't know what to think about. Or I'm so happy when we get kind of snowstorm. I love it when nature takes over.
Yeah, I mean, I have the problem. I was born in the south of Italy where it's always sunny, so I can't cope too well with bad weather.
But you know what is the trick? It is. I think that bad weather is what we get in Copenhagen or Berlin or London.
Rain.
When it's rainy and around zero, that's really humid and cold. But when you get 1 meter snow,
mm-hmm.
it's changing.
You're right, and also
it's
fun.
It doesn't feel so cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I
it's
hear you.
Dry and it's beautiful and it brings lots of light.
Yeah, I can imagine the landscape must change radically, right?
Absolutely.
It's beautiful, beautiful image to think of. And before we say goodbye, though, I want to ask you about a few of your upcoming projects. So I know you have an Israeli political documentary coming up.
Yeah, Israeli. Yes, we don't know yet because we just finished it. Where it's, yeah, you know.
Right.
The big,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But
festivals, but it is a very important documentary. It's called Two Kids a Day. It's about. Very tricky situation between Israel and Palestine and the way they are arresting minors.
How did you approach it musically?
How did I approach? I have, it's kind of electro-acoustic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I have done electro stuff and I'm playing violin on top of it, and then I have an Arabic singer.
Oh, wow. That sounds super interesting.
Just a little bit like a spice.
Right.
There.
I can't
but
wait.
I tried to kind of not to make it too sentimental,
mm-hmm.
because it's always when you are working on a topic like this and you have kids involved, I don't also to be too sentimental, but
Yeah, you didn't you don't go the didascalic way, basically. Yeah, that makes sense, and that sounds super interesting. Can't wait to check it out. I also know you are composing on old film material that have lost the soundtracks.
Yeah, but we have one fantastic film director called Pirjo Honkasalo. She's very famous also in the world about her documentaries. Indeed, she gets today 75. She's
Okay.
my hero.
Happy
But
birthday.
anyway, she has they just found some materials what she has been shooting when she has been 30, and she's been in Lapland, and they have very interesting film material, but they had lost the soundtrack.
Okay.
So we are making a film out of these materials, and of course it's very challenging but very super interesting possibility for me to make the whole landscape. I'm also educated as a sound designer, so
Okay. Oh, so you're doing that as well.
I have sound designer, but I'm coping kind of really good with sound designer.
Right. Awesome. And the other project of yours that we can enjoy sometimes in the future is Fanny and Alexander, which is you are composing Fanny and Alexander for theater.
Yes, we are not it is Oscar-winning film by Ingmar Bergman, but he has also published the script as a book. Well, it's
Ah,
all of
so
them.
still his.
Yeah, it is or then our dramaturgists, they have a little bit
Okay,
continued it, but
right.
we try to forget the film totally. And then we are making, then it will be at least 3.5 hour
Okay.
performance on a big stage. So, and I'm composing a little bit sci-fi thing, quite electronic stuff to that. So
Is it gonna have any live musicians on the stage? Is it?
well, I have really big ensemble, and they are very good musicians, so that they will produce lots of rhythms and sounds, and we are also putting lots of microphones to the around the stage, so they are playing different rhythms.
Oh wow, that sounds
So
amazing.
it's a combination of some kind of a huge score. We could call it score. It's
Right.
very filmatic style, the score I'm composing, and then on top of that, they are making live sounds.
That sounds lovely. Sam, it was such a pleasure to meet you and to have a chat with you today. Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you for calling me.
That's our show for today. We like to make our episodes roughly the same length, therefore, we sometimes edit out some of the guests' favorites. However, extended cuts of the show are available to our Patreon subscribers. Check filmscoringtips.com/content to find more about this. Thanks for joining us and see you soon.